last night's State of the Union speech didn't stray very far from decades of televised State of the Union addresses. If President Bush's second inaugural address had a prophetic tone, this speech took a more pragmatic look at policy, both domestic and foreign. The idea of interacting with the audience that President Ronald Reagan pioneered was also on display. And to analyze the state-of-the-art of the State of the Union address, we turn to Hedy Weiss. She's theater critic of the Chicago Sun-Times, and she watched the State of the Union address last night and offers this review of the performance.
First things first. Whatever the condition of their personal retirement plans, there is not an actor at work on an American stage, from Broadway to Berkeley, who is not wildly jealous of President Bush after his State of the Union address last night. Why? Because during the course of the president's 53-minute monologue, not a single cell phone could be heard ringing or singing, not even a carefully implanted one, emitting the faint, subliminal sound of Hail to the Chief. So, with such fine, old-fashioned theater behavior in evidence, how was the performance? Mr. Bush is not and never will be a transformative actor. His emotional range is limited. He cannot morph himself into a great gallery of characters. He has honed a single persona. And to his credit, he has worked diligently on his technique, gaining confidence with increased exposure. His words still do not come trippingly on his tongue, but there has been a huge evolution in his speaking skills. And he no longer sounds as if he is delivering his lines to the beat of some well-concealed metronome. What was most striking about the whole ritual of the State of the Union was just how conservative it seemed as performance, and this had nothing to do with the political philosophy on offer. During the past century, every form of theater has undergone radical change. Only political oratory has remained locked in place. The president's entry into the House, amid a crowd of admiring cabinet members, generals, and members of Congress, might date back to Caesar's stroll through the Forum. Those grieving women from two continents might easily have been lifted out of the chorus of a Greek tragedy, or maybe not. Their awkward extended embrace, that demonstration of such profound private emotion in such a carefully manipulated public environment, had as much to do with the conventions of Jerry Springer, or Jerry Springer the opera, as with Sophocles. It wasn't all fake. The dog tag snagged on a suit sleeve was real. The trembling still-inked fingers of the Iraqi woman as she tried to find the proper sign language, peace sign, victory sign, what was it she was supposed to do, felt true. The grip of that grieving Texas mother as she locked her arm into her husband's, that was real. Yet I was more gripped by the broad, stolid, unmoving face of her husband. No grand opera there, just the flat mask of hard, numb emotion. And as for the pale epilogue offered by the opposition party, it seemed like nothing so much as the desperate attempt of a group of itinerant players trying to earn a few pennies from the stragglers filing out of the main event.
Hedy Weiss is theater critic for the Chicago Sun-Times. This is NPR, National Public Radio.